Hey everyone, welcome to My Open Defender Childhood. This week, as you can tell, we're watching Rush Hour. Now, for those of you who don't remember, I think November, we did a poll to do an action hero month. I guess the poll was probably actually in October, and then we did it in November, but we ended up choosing Harrison Ford. And Harrison Ford, of course, we did Patriot Games, and we did The Fugitive. They did well, but Jackie Chan came in second. And one of our reasons for wanting to do it, we scheduled out some movies in case whoever won. We wanted to do Rush Hour. Everyone wanted to do Rush Hour. Everyone has fond memories of Rush Hour. We'll talk about that. It's 100% exactly what it is. But with that in mind, I wanted to thank you all for all you've done for us. This is well into our sixth season. We're getting good numbers, and for those of you who know, we've started our Patreon, patreon.com/myopia. We have exclusive episodes there of Alien and Aliens, and we will do the entire Alien series. We will have behind the paywall all of our back catalog, and once we hit certain numbers, we'll even have someone remastering them. We have a monthly newsletter there, and we have some side projects we're going to do. And frankly, eventually we'll probably also end up doing an episode by episode of a T-show. And I believe we're going to start with Batman the Animated Series. But we need you guys. And if you come out, it will allow us to keep doing what we do. And we really do enjoy doing what we do. So your support is not only important to us, it encourages us to do more. And the financial part allows us to provide. It's not a cheap hobby, but we like to do it. So encouraging us keeps the free material coming. And as a precaution, we will probably also be starting ads soon, advertising soon, and I promise you, this feed will always remain, never charge for our basic episodes, but I want to reward those who support us by giving them extra stuff. Right now, that's the Aliens movies, and for long, hopefully it'll not only be our back catalog, but our new catalog of animation shows. Like I said, we'll probably start with Batman the Animated Series, and then maybe the X-Men T-shirt, but we'll see. Thanks again for your support. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. No, the Instagram. Not updated as much as it should. And I say follow us, Myopia Podcast. But also, Daniel and Matt have their own Twitters. Our Facebook group and our Facebook page is Myopia Podcast. You'll recognize. And of course, Letterboxd, where I post reviews for some movies, and you can follow along with what we're watching, see what I'm watching fun, and see if you can figure out what I'm watching fun and what I'm watching for the show. Thanks, guys. Oh, one last thing. When you're listening to this, it is the end of February. Obviously, like I said, Aliens will be up. If it's not up now, it'll be up soon. But further, I am doing a show for Cineprov. The Cineprov show will be the first Thursday of March, which is the 5th, and we'll be doing a Leprechaun movie in honor of St. Patrick's Day, because this is important. Larry found that hilarious. So, hope to see you guys there, and thanks for supporting me and everything I do, and Matt and Daniel and everything they do. Join the Patreon. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to My Infinite Childhood. This week we're watching Rush Hour, a movie that's more racist than you remember, but as funny as you've forgotten. I'm Nick Huffman, host of My Open Defender Childhood and Riffer on Cineprov, and on panel we've gotten
Matthew W. Quinn, and do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Rarely.
Hello, this is Daniel, and ain't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Nopes.
And Steve-O, insert clever catchphrase.
Steve-O, well, actually it's not even Steve's fault. It's all of our fault.
It's all of our faults.
We were talking about doing, in January, a month on cop movies, and that fell apart because of reasons.
Oh, because of the Corys.
You can never have enough of both Corys, one or the other Corys, or all of the Corys, but...
Cory squared.
We almost did Jackie Chan in December, or November.
Yep, that's right. He was like finalist or something in that big poll, right?
Well, he was our second place for our top action star, Harrison Ford won out. And, our Harrison Ford month went very well. And then we watched The Rise of Skywalker. And then we regretted making Harrison Ford part of anything. So,
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was fine, too. But fine is not what Star Wars is. Star Wars should be slutty.
Star Wars should be safe, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, but a C-plus movie is still better than a D-minus, like the second prequel.
I would say it's more of a B-minus movie, but we're talking about...
Do you hate sand, Nick? It's just so sandy.
It's a B-minus on a curve. Anyway.
We could talk about whether the prequels are better than the new trilogy until the cows come home. But we're here to talk about Chris Rock, or Chris Tucker.
I thought...
The two Chrises. That's this theme.
Let's have one where Chris Tucker annoys Palpatine so much he explodes.
So I've got some justification on why sometimes I confuse the two. So I'm jumping the gun here. But there's the scene where we're initially revealed the C4, right? This is like the thread that holds this whole movie together.
By a string.
By a string, right? With a trigger. And
the thread with a string with a trigger.
And Chris Tucker goes, C4! You got C4! And all I can think of is CB4 every time. And I'm like, oh yeah, it's that movie where they're in jail and they're rapping. And oh, but that's Chris Rock. And that's actually a funny movie. Oh,
that's a funny movie.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that scene reminded me of that bit in Jackie Brown where it's Chris Tucker and Samuel L. Jackson looking in the trunk. And I don't know. It's like, oh, hey, this is another movie with a Tarantino supporting actor with Chris Tucker looking in a trunk.
Well,
why not?
This is apparently a Chris Tucker vehicle. Brett Ratner's muse is Madonna, Mariah Carey, and Chris Tucker. This is his second movie. Other than this, he's done music videos for everyone from like the Fat Boys to, which sounds like a joke, but it's not, like to Mariah Carey, to Madonna. He did the musical, what was it? A Beautiful Stranger from Austin Powers 2. He directed that music video the next year, the year after this came out.
Why was he direct? This movie made a lot of money, and it's, all things considered, not a bad film.
No, like, it's fine.
David Fincher did the music video just Straight Up back in the day with Paula Abdul.
Well, and Michael Bay went back to Pornhub. So
that's where the money was. I mean, you can't blame the guy.
Okay. Money talks.
Yeah.
Seriously, a music video that Michael Bay did back in the early 90s was that Meatloaf video.
Yes. I'll do anything for love, but I can't do that.
I won't do that. Oh, he can do whatever. He just won't do it.
Except on her birthday.
Have we even said the title of the movie that we're doing, Rush Hour?
We're doing Friday.
Okay. Which explains how the fuck I got fired on my day off.
There you go.
Clerks. We're talking Rush Hour 1, 1998, Jackie Chan, Chris Tucker vehicle, along with a pretty good cast of side characters. So, Steve, this was your suggestion. We're not really doing defense, so to speak, anymore, but we would love you to explain the plot of this movie.
This was kind of my film. Now, I saw Rush Hour probably 10 times with my sister, at least, and had fond memories of it. I remember really liking this movie, and you know what? We'll get into it. But okay, so what's this movie about? There's really not a lot of plot that's actually important. The too long didn't read is we're introduced to some characters in Hong Kong. There's a Chinese diplomat that's returning to the United States, and they wind up in Los Angeles like you do. So his daughter is... they're celebrating... I'm skipping the whole code open. We'll get into that. I think it's actually kind of worth talking about on its own. But there's this criminal organization, right? So we wind up in Los Angeles, and the Chinese diplomat's daughter is kidnapped by this organization. And so Jackie Chan is flown all the way from Hong Kong to Los Angeles to sort of act as the investigator. But he's, you know, he's also kind of the buddy. He's the professional. He's a badass. So anyway, the rest of the film is basically them just chasing leads, trying to find Su Young, who's the diplomat's daughter, and getting caught up with Chris Tucker, who is, you know, LAPD. He's assigned as a detail to basically keep Jackie Chan distracted because the FBI doesn't want him kind of interfering with this investigation. And Chris Tucker does a terrible job because Jackie Chan is, you know, just a lot more impressive and a lot more elusive than Chris Tucker could, you know, handle. So we're just led through Los Angeles as they follow leads looking for Su Young. Spoilers, they do. The good guys win again. And it's just a little bit more racist than I remember, but it's well choreographed and there's a lot of ass kicking. So let's get into that.
The way every scene works, and first of all, Steve, well done. But no, the way every scene works is like, okay, there's some bad guys around. What are we going to do? Jackie Chan's like, we should be subtle. And Chris Tucker walks in and goes,
That's a pretty good plot synopsis.
And all the bad guys goes, hey, someone walked in and farted. And then Chris Tucker's like, but wait a minute. And then Jackie Chan punches a bunch of people, and that's the end of the scene.
I thought you told me, Nick, that you were on medicine. I mean, that was a problem you need to get taken care of there, right?
It was Benefiber and yeah. way too much of it.
As opposed to Epsom salts, which would just be...
Good thing Patreon isn't paying us for this.
Hey, baby, I'll give it away for free.
Those sound bites will be available to our patrons.
Yeah,
Thank you. This is
at the $1 level, just 10 minutes.
Sorry, Nick, you might be giving it up for free, but I don't want it.
You can get some customized flatulent waves if you donate enough. We'll have more info to tease later.
I hate to say I'm stealing Chris Tucker material, but...
Oh boy.
It's Patreon, not Hatreon.
Do you understand the sense that are coming out of my butt?
No, I don't.
But
do
nobody
you
understand the
but
sense.
But do you want to, Steve-O?
Yeah, absolutely. That
should be stricken from the record.
Here's the thing about
this
movie.
No, leave it in.
Here's why this movie exists. Jackie Chan was already a huge deal in Hong Kong and in the Chinese film industry. In Chinese film industry, good lord, I make it sound like it's some random office front for Juntao.
Yeah.
But no, in Hong Kong, he was already a legend. He had been in a ton of hits. He was already directing his stuff. And I think his music career is already taking off in China. He's like released 30 albums at this point.
He has.
In 2020, not in 1998. But no, he was already a big deal. And this was really his way to break into the U.S. But they wanted to do it in an action comedy. At the time, the biggest success at that front was probably the Beverly Hills Cop movies, right? Especially the original one. Because I can't really think of, like, too many action comedies that weren't just straight spoofs. Like,
what was the Nick Nolte, Eddie Murphy movie?
48 Hours?
That would count,
yeah,
right?
That would count.
Lethal Weapon?
Well, that was more of a straight action than an action comedy. But either way, the idea of an action comedy in Hong Kong was very different than an action comedy in the U.S. And I think they were trying to combine the two. And the thing that really gets me about this is getting Jackie Chan, great idea. Chris Tucker, I mean, you really needed somebody who was Jackie Chan's equal. Like, you needed a superstar, and Chris Tucker really wasn't.
But also, to be fair, this is Brett Ratner. And now he's something, but in 1998...
He was the music
video dude. So I don't know who put the money forward, but even Rumble in the Bronx, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great movie. It's a Hong Kong movie. I looked. We talked about this.
Yeah,
but
it's
actually made in Hong Kong.
Oh, okay.
So there's that.
Was it Better Tomorrow that was partially filmed? Probably. I don't know.
I mean, but to be fair, you could find a dumpster somewhere in Chicago to film anything. So
yeah.
But we should get into this a little bit. Cold open.
Let's talk about the cold open because you talk about this being like a, you know, a hybridized, maybe a bastardized is a better way to put it, version of, you know, a Hong Kong action film and, you know, what was maybe perceived as.
It's essentially a lost scene from one of Jackie Chan's police story movies.
Yeah, right. But I think this cold open really is a good hook, and it really is that kind of typical Hong Kong action film where it's just Jackie Chan, you know, skulking around in a shipyard, like ready to intercept this. You know, clearly they've got a beat on Juntao, and they're just in there to try to get these artifacts back. And it's just a great scene where, you know, Jackie shows off his skills, he does his own stunts, and he kicks some ass. And it's a great scene, really, and it sets up the film really nicely, I think.
Now, the whole thing about this criminal organization, just for a bit of background, is they've apparently stolen a whole bunch of Chinese artifacts that are worth millions upon millions of dollars. And the whole thing in the cold open is that as they're trying to smuggle these artifacts out of the nation, Jackie Chan stops them. The whole movie really is about vengeance over the fact that they lost all of that money to Jackie Chan, and they've kidnapped this this council's daughter in order to regain it.
Everyone loves Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You know, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
It's
NPR's favorite white people quiz show. It's very soft-spoken, very
calm. Does NPR have a different type of quiz show?
Ask Me Another, which is their hipster white person show.
Okay.
But Peter Sagal, the host of it, wrote a dramatic love story. A dancer who was in love with a woman gets stuck in Cuba right on the cusp of Batista's overthrow by Fidel Castro. Set against the Cuban Revolution, it's a dance movie. Dramatic.
Right.
Then he got kicked off the project after selling the script, and it became the sequel to Dirty Dancing. Dirty Dancing 2, Havana Nights.
That takes me back.
This story reminds me so much of that, doesn't it? Someone had a story to tell, a dramatic story about losing national treasures. Someone wrote a script about how the English were taking treasures out of Hong Kong because they were leaving the continent.
Oh, yeah. Literally, the cold open, I think, says last day of British rule of Hong Kong.
It does. Right. It says it right on the screen.
It's like some poor film student wrote a dramatic play, a screenplay about a British expat, an ambassador who was trying to take treasures out of Hong Kong on his way out the door. And then they attached Chris Tucker. And derp de derp de derp.
Well, welcome to Hollywood. They'll do stuff like that.
I'm sure Chris Tucker is a very nice dude. He has been a funny supporting character in things. He was great in Silver Linings Playbook.
He was.
But he just is not a leading man.
It's very telling that his most endearing and candid scenes are in the bloopers. Like, you can't help but hate his character throughout this film. And then you kind of see him candidly at the end and you go, oh, maybe he's not a piece of shit. But boy, they didn't cast him in a good light in this movie at all.
He's the most obnoxious person in the world, which is why it's funny.
Okay, so in the 90s, sure, because some of it was cliche and some of it was funny, and now it's just, oh, he's obnoxious and a little bit too racist. And
well, we're not laughing at Jackie Chan, we're laughing at him for being an ignorant, loudmouth bore.
Wait. Don't include me in you.
Well, okay, Jackie Chan's stunts are always supposed to be kind of funny. It's the same sort of Buster Keaton sort of slapstick.
Well, that's why I pointed out, and this was an elbow nudge when we saw it, but he runs like a clown.
Yeah,
he runs with his elbows out, like flipping. Like he runs like Mr. Potter's penguins or whatever. Like he runs like Don Knotts on purpose, right? Like
sure.
He's Jim Carreying throughout this entire movie.
A little bit, but he knows which movie he's playing in. He's not an idiot, right? Like this is not real life where he's just been. Oh, that's the guy I'm casting this film with. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then case in point. The scene, which was ripped off in one of my favorite movies, Black Dynamite, but when he goes to the pool hall and he's kicking the shit out of everyone, and there's pool sticks. The thing about a good Jim Carrey fight, Jesus Christ, Jackie Chan fight,
I love a good
is that
Jim
he
Carrey
looks
fight.
Like he's losing the whole time, right? He's all teeth and like, ooh, ah! But he's kicking ass the whole time. He's throwing people into the Tiffany lamps above the pool tables. Like,
now this is the scene where Jackie Chan has to say the N-word, right?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't have to.
How are you doing, my...
No, we're not doing that.
My fine young man. Yeah. Which he says, I think, to the only white guy in the whole scene. Whatever.
The bartender?
Yeah.
I just know he says that one particular word, and then that's what starts the fight.
In fact, when Chris Tucker says it to two other dudes, I'm like, Jackie Chan's going to say this word by the end of the
movie. Yeah, you don't have to have seen it before to go, oh, God, I see where this joke is going, and it's not going to be a good one.
We understood the words that was coming out of his mouth.
But
it was awkward.
The pool hall fight scene was quite was well great. Choreographed. It's a good
Again,
scene.
Out of Police Story.
All of the great scenes in this movie belong to Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
every
they
single
do.
One. I mean, there's the scene where he's dangling off the Hollywood street sign. There's the cold open. There's the pool hall fight. There's the dive at the end.
I will give one scene to Chris Rock's stunt double.
You mean Chris Tucker?
Yeah, sure. the scene where I think it's called Foo Chow, the restaurant. Where
Foo Chow, the restaurant.
To be heading, yeah.
Yeah.
Where they're literally just vamping. They're playing like, here's how you disarm a dude, right? That's fun. That's earnest. I believe that most of the time Chris Tucker is there chilling out with a beer, and he's just a nice dude. Those are the one scenes where you feel like he's a nice dude. His eyes aren't bugging out of his head. He's not yelling. His volume knob is up to 12 the whole time. Hey, girl, you want to go out?
The biggest thing that will emphasize what's kind of wrong with this dynamic are the scenes that introduce the characters. We get the Jackie Chan scene where he's a competent police officer that still has to escape from some weird scruffles. And then the scene that introduces Chris Tucker is when he utterly destroys an investigation into illegal explosives, where he's trying to like buy C4 from Chris Penn, and he is just being so blatant about it. I mean, it'd be like if an undercover cop showed up saying like, "Why, hello there, young man. I would like to buy some
drugs
because I am feeling strung out."
Well, he did have the guy, and then the two other cops showed up and tried to arrest him.
I'm not one of them drug users from TV. I'm handsome in other ways. But it'd be like someone if you were on the street and someone asked you for Mary Jane. You'd be like, you've learned about drugs from cartoons, haven't you?
Do you have one unit of marijuana cigarettes, boy?
There's even a scene where there's a stoner in that pool hall, and Chris Tucker's like going, "That weed?
Yeah. You have glaucoma?
You better have glaucoma."
Yeah.
Which, you know, by the way, was a blast from the past. I didn't realize medical marijuana was in 1998.
Sure.
Yeah, that was the new and controversial thing back then.
Kiss from a rose, my friends.
Yeah. My timeline was always, okay, when did Homer become a pothead?
Would you like the wizard or would you like the skull?
Do you want to pass the duchy from the left-hand side?
Oh my God, 1963.
Yikes.
Well done.
So they had a Simpsons episode where I think they were trying to go to Jamaica, but they end up in Japan. So you got Homer in like the Rasta headgear and stuff.
That was when he went to their parody of Lollapalooza.
They kicked the Flanders out of going to Japan. That's when they go to Japan. That was the episode that was banned in Japan.
That was a separate episode, though. I'm talking about when they went to Lollapalooza and Homer had that Rasta hat on, and everyone's going away, and they call him a narc.
They do. The 90s. A simpler time where Trump only owned real estate.
Owned in quotation marks there. Topical.
So one thing I did like about the foil of Chris Tucker in this film, going back to what you said, Daniel, about Jackie Chan really stealing all the scenes, is that I think him being such an obnoxious fool allows Jackie Chan to appear even more clever and suave than he even is. Like, if that's even possible.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of that was, like, intentional, just to, like, really paint him in a good light. But like, if there's a silver lining there, I think that's it, for me at least.
Well,
No. You shut your whore mouth. I'm going to agree with Steve here, because looking at this cast, I wonder if this isn't, like, a secret Jackie Chan direction movie. And they needed an American director to make it legal in the U.S.
Well, if you think that he was at least a consultant. Like, come on, who choreographed all the fight scenes? Like, you know damn well it was Jackie Chan.
The second they entered a fight scene, it was almost like a cutscene in like Street Fighter, where you're just like, and now it's a different movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely. It really does feel like the comic relief is just segues between like really actually well choreographed fight scenes that belong in a different movie, a much better movie.
Somewhere there's a Criterion version of Rush Hour where there's an extra 13 hours of just Chris Tucker vamping like he's Robin Williams.
Right.
And they're like, you know what? This is all going to make the final cut. And there's just a different movie somewhere in someone's basement.
Chris Tucker causes an international incident.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the by, Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan are interesting because there's the Chinese embassy. Well, I guess the Hong Kong embassy, right? It's an American movie. They confuse the two. But there's the Asian side of things.
Well, I believe it's the consulate of wherever.
Everyone else is a white dude except for Chris Tucker and one scene in a pool hall, right?
Yeah. Which is Chris Tucker's cousin.
It's more racist somehow. Hey, man, don't mess up this suit. Your mom gave it to me. That's the scene.
Here's the thing. I'm sure we'll get
to
it later.
Don't bring Bootsy into this, Nick.
Yeah, Bootsy Collins.
We'll get to this later in a different episode, I'm sure. The sequel to this movie is so much better than the original because it found the balance between the two characters about how different they were, but how they still got along.
Credit to the director and everyone involved. This seems like a production chop shop job. Because I don't know what the movie was originally, but this is like, we need more Americans in this. Because whenever Jackie gets going, it's cut back. From the bloops at the end, everyone had a great time.
Everyone had a ball, to be honest.
But none of this movie makes sense at all.
No, it doesn't need to, though. Like, this movie, it's guilty pleasure. Like, this movie doesn't need to make sense. It's still enjoyable.
I do miss the bloops at the end of movies.
Well, and that's a Jackie Chan specialty. I've seen the two police stories. I've seen Rumble in the Bronx. I've seen a bunch of his movies, right?
Right.
They always have bloops at the end. That's fun. I've even seen the terrible Owen Wilson movies. Or
Shanghai Noon.
And Shanghai Nights.
Which was an awful movie.
Oh, yeah, that's what he just said.
Well, Shanghai Noon, I remember being funny at the time. Shanghai Nights just sucked.
They're Stay Tunes, 100%.
I've never seen them.
Your time better?
Your time has value. Don't
you're better for now.
I did see that version of Around the World in 80 Days with Jackie Chan as the manservant.
You know the one that really disappointed me, though? It's called The Foreigner. It's done by the guy who did GoldenEye and Casino Royale.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
And it stars Pierce Brosnan and Jackie Chan. And it's a wet fart of a movie, man. Nice. How do you ruin that?
Is that the one where like the IRA kills Jackie Chan's daughter, so he just kills everyone?
Yes. But it's mainly, it's a one-on-one movie. It's like Patriot Games, but instead of Harrison Ford, it's Pierce Brosnan. The setup is great, man. He did GoldenEye. And then there's just a train wreck of an aftermath. Anyway, other people show up in this movie.
Eh. Well, there's Tom Wilkerson as the main Wilkinson? Wilkerson?
Wilkinson.
Yeah, him. Old white dude is the main villain.
Spoilers, the only British guy that has more than one line as the villain. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, he's trying... It belongs in the museum!
Yeah.
He is like 10 seconds away at any given point in this movie from just yelling out, "Diplomatic immunity!"
This is kind of
jumping in his helicopter and flying down a sewer. Like,
yeah, I mean, the middle act of this is a crime drama. It's fine. I mean, it could be Nick Nolte and Eddie Murphy in 48 Hours. It could be... Eddie Murphy.
Now, we speculated this while we were watching it because I think we all agree that Chris Tucker just didn't have the personality or the reputation to pull this off and be Jackie Chan's equal at the time. Who would we have replaced him with?
Oh, okay. So now or at the time?
Either or. Why not?
Well, there's two ways you can go. First of all, Michael Shannon needs to be involved somehow. If we're redoing this movie, first of all, I'd say... A remake? We don't do that in 2020.
Yeah, who would do that?
We got a re-what now?
We've got so many original ideas left. We don't need to be scraping the bottom of the barrel, boys.
Personally, if we're going to make it a comedy, the pitch I made to Daniel was Black Dynamite 2. Now, follow me. I like Michael Jai White. Michael Jai White is amazing. He's funny. He's everything you'd want in this. And since he wasn't cast as Blade in the remake coming out, I think he should be the Chris Tucker role. But I think it'd be funner if you switch it around and put someone like, I don't know, John Chu or something.
I thought we landed on Kevin Hart replacing Chris Tucker.
Oh God, but
no,
I'm just
putting in Jason Alexander. Like, if you're gonna get some comedy in there, like, let's just embrace it. He's useless. He's just gonna run around.
Maybe him as the villain would make more sense.
Yeah, right.
Or we set it in the past, and it's just set in the Deep South, and there's giant spiders around, and we can remake Wild Wild West.
Good, yeah. That'd be fun.
God, what a train wreck of a fucking movie that would be.
Surprisingly, yes. Because I thought, like, well, Will Smith would make a better actor in this. But like,
because he can fucking act. Because
he can act, I'm and he's sorry. Charming, and he doesn't need to be a fool. But.
Chris Tucker can do some things, but he's not an actor. He's funny. He even does a couple of the action scenes okay. But you need someone who can... act. And Jackie Chan can act. I don't know. It's really funny because in scenes where there's drama, you just need to cut to Jackie Chan and hope his English holds out.
Well, I mean, Chris Tucker kind of did the Dave Chappelle thing where he completely disappeared for a good 9 or 10 years.
Playing World of Warcraft?
Well, the only thing he would do is Rush Hour movies.
World of Warcraft?
Yeah, and World of Warcraft, but...
I mean, sure, but if you have $20 million, you can do whatever the hell you want, I guess.
Well, I think it's deeper than that. I think I think he was just tired of having
earning
to...
earning all that money? No, I get you.
What was
of
it like
having to play the same thing over and over again.
It was the Chris
again.
Farley thing. It was like, I want a different role. I'm tired of being cast as the clown every time. I mean, I get that. That's reasonable.
If you haven't seen it yet, see Uncut Gems, because it's the Adam Sandler thing right now, where... The dude can act. Give him something to fucking do. What was he in? Silver Linings Playbook?
Chris Tucker, yeah.
He was good in that.
He was
and you know
real
what he's not doing?
It.
He's not yelling. He's That's not fair. Yelling. He doesn't enter scene and goes, "Do you understand the psychopath that you have?"
That's an arc. Let's talk about some characters that were in real movies, right? Those would be good movies, though.
I mean, at one point, okay, so the whole thing, Chris Tucker ends up in this role because he's an asshole. And then everyone else is like, hey, that Chris Tucker's an asshole. What if we give him this shit job of babysitting this guy from Hong Kong?
Who is his superior in every way.
The whole thing is the FBI wants to solve the case. They don't want to make it an international incident. And the consul is like, I have this dude who's going to solve the case for you. So they hide him away. Fine. And then there's literally a scene where the whole LAPD is laughing at him for being assigned this job. Yeah. We're giving you your dreams just to mock you. What a horrible setup for the whole thing.
Well, I think the idea is that everyone hates him because he is just so obnoxious.
And we should too.
And he's a bad police officer who gets other officers shot and destroys evidence in a criminal.
And then mocks them as they're on the ground bleeding.
If like, you are writing something, here's some advice. Make what people assume about your main character wrong. If they assume you're obnoxious, make the character not obnoxious. No. It turns out that the police department is right. He is an asshole. That undermines everything the movie is trying to say about him.
No, that's the moral of the story, folks. If you're an obnoxious asshole, you just keep being an obnoxious asshole, and life is going to pay you dividends one way or another.
Guess what? Max Landis is an asshole, but sometimes people are Mary Sues. Chris Tucker is a Mary Sue in this movie, mm-hmm. and we have to hate him. If your character can do everything without training, that makes him unlikable.
That's why Rush Hour 2 works better, because you understand he's more capable and you understand why.
Right.
And he also has his own separate personality. He doesn't just exist under Jackie Chan's shadow.
Both characters are never on the back foot in this movie.
No,
they never have to figure anything out. Jackie Chan is handcuffed to a steering wheel. And by the end of the next scene, he's broken into an embassy controlled by the FBI. Chris Tucker, at one point, is trapped by the villains. And even he, as an incompetent, is rescued and out of the scene after a fight scene where everyone else is dead. How is there stress here? Michael Bay in Bad Boys 2 had more tension when two black men went to a Klan meeting of thousands of people.
Oh boy.
Stay tuned.
Rough. I hate that movie.
When does the next Bad Boys movie come out?
Any minute now. Blink and you missed it. It's a perfume commercial. You know who needed a movie after the success of Aladdin, the live action version? The person who played Iago, a literal parrot. But instead they gave it to Will Smith. The thetans will save us all.
Who did voice Iago in the remake?
It wasn't Gilbert.
Obviously not.
I don't know why. I was available.
We know you're available.
Because who's busy reading 50 Shades of Grey live on YouTube?
Or go.
God bless that tiny man.
Or go the fuck to sleep.
Go the fuck to sleep!
Did he do that too?
Because
Samuel Jackson did it as
there,
well.
There's a bunch of people who did
Brian
that.
Brian Cranston says you read the one, You Have to Fucking Eat. It's also good.
Good.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Gilbert Godfrey. You white noise machine.
Right. Oh, boy. I'm imagining recasting Chris Tucker's character with Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh,
would
boy.
It be better or worse?
Worse.
Ship it.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Ain't nobody understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
This is very painful to do to my voice.
I'm sure it is.
That's why we keep making you do it, Nick.
And that's also why Gilbert Gottfried doesn't actually talk like that.
Hello, this is Gilbert Godfrey, reading for the role of the Pop-Tart in the new commercial.
Hello, I'm a cherry Pop-Tart!
And then his voice stayed that way.
Didn't
Gilbert!
I don't have a partner, I don't want a partner!
My mother always told me if I did this voice too long, it would stick.
Oh, gosh. So what else happened in this movie? Did anything else worth a
day? At one point, the little Chinese girl starts daring people to blow her up with the bomb vest she's wearing.
Yeah, that's quite a big skip there. Yeah. Well, at first, they're trying to find where she's being held captive, and they trace it back to this one restaurant in Chinatown where the FBI is going to make a drop, but Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan show up, and they screw everything up.
They had some great bonding time, though. Let's be honest. They didn't screw that
because
up.
Because war, what is it good for?
It's absolutely nothing. I mean,
say it
however,
again, Steve. Say it again.
I will. right after this bonding montage of eating eel and camel's hump. Is that a real thing? Do people eat camel?
No idea.
You never know.
It doesn't seem like it'd be... This is going to be very ignorant of me. Are there a lot of camels in China?
Something tells us that's probably the name of the dish, not what it actually is.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah, they proceed to just ruin everything, except they figure out that the evil British guy is involved.
That's kind of the pattern of this whole movie, is that they're always one step ahead but three steps behind and screwing up every attempt to get this girl back until they just kind of luck their way through things.
Well, plus the movie reveals who the main villain is, like, during the second act.
It doesn't
matter, though.
Yeah, you're right, though. It is weird, but it just doesn't matter. You feel clever as the audience knowing something. But Jackie Chan is just always looking over his shoulder away from finding the villains, right? So, like, it's almost irrelevant who they are. He just has to catch up to them and kick them in the face.
With a ladder.
Yeah, or a bar stool, or just both of his feet simultaneously.
Well, and that's kind of what this movie's problem is to me. It's not that it's bad or whatever, it's just maybe messy. Because if it's an American movie, the whole thing would be to figure out Mr. Big. But it's almost a Scooby-Doo plot. There's that one character that's introduced in the beginning, and then at the end he's the villain. And then there's the Hong Kong action movie where you kind of know who the villain is the whole time. It's just a matter of getting to him, like a video game, right? Like, he's the boss level.
Well, and Jackie Chan has the added difficulty of having to wade through a sea of FBI agents going, duh!
Yeah, and just a bunch of, like, generic white dudes, one who's bald and one who isn't, who are obstructions. And then they offer Chris Tucker a job at the end, and just like, okay.
Take that FBI badge and shove it up your ass.
All right, Lieutenant Sally, I didn't ask you.
They're giving him an FBI badge because he just got really lucky.
That's what it is.
Several times.
Well, that's how getting an FBI badge kind of works.
Well, and it's just, I just hear it in Rick's voice from Rick and Morty. She's like, take that and shove it up there. Just
way up there.
All the way up there, Morty, and just, oh no.
Take that badge and just get up in that asshole, Larry. Just...
I don't know, Rick. I don't think it'll fit.
And that's how the whole pilot goes.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it turns out that Chris Tucker is an even bigger asshole than we thought because he could speak Cantonese the whole time or whatever.
He says three words at the end.
Yeah,
you just assumed I couldn't speak Chinese. That makes you the asshole. No, it still makes you the asshole, Chris Tucker.
I think he probably just wrote it up in a dictionary just to troll him.
I think you're right.
I think he read it off a cue card and failed 11 times, according to the bloopers.
Yeah,
right?
He read it off the back of a fortune cookie. It was one of those, how to speak Chinese.
It was written
on
the back of the seat in front of him, and he kept screwing it up.
Yeah.
We made it as phonetic as we could, Chris. You got to get this one, bud. We're going home.
We're trying to release this in Hong Kong for some reason, so you got to pronounce it right, buddy.
Yeah.
And then it just melts.
Now, in part two, there's an even worse line that he never gets right during the bloops, which we'll get there, I'm sure, someday. But those were the bits that I remembered when it came time to the bloops.
There's this
one scene where they're flying on an airplane together, and Chris Tucker has specifically ordered the kosher meal from this airline. Not sure why.
It was the 90s, man. It was better food.
Well,
airline food, right?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was something like the gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish. That was it. And he cannot pronounce that to save his life.
Gefilte fish?
Gefilte fish. No, he's like going filka fish or filte fish. He's like gefilma.
It ain't soul food, motherfucker. Oh. No.
Apparently, gefilte is too hard a word to pronounce.
You know that show that Chris Rock had that Chris Tucker should have had? Everyone Hates Chris? Hey.
There you go.
So
why did Chris Tucker pull the Dave Chappelle trick and just disappear after Rush Hour 2?
Because he had the money, man.
Yeah, man.
You don't have to work if you have money.
Didn't we discuss this?
Capitalism has one thing.
It's my dream is to star in two shitty movies and disappear off the face of the earth.
Didn't we discuss this
earlier?
He was probably sick of playing a just moron.
I think that's fair, but...
Possibly.
Look, we all work our asses off so that we can put a roof over our head. You know what? If you have to be a buffoon in front of a camera to make $20 million, you're not getting any sympathy from me. I'm sorry.
I've watched a lot of bad movies, and some of them will be on this podcast. Other ones I'll say no to. We will one day watch
How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey. And you know what? It's a terrible movie. It truly is remarkably bad. But you know what he did? He woke up every morning and said, they're paying me $1 billion to do this, and I will be an actor.
He also did Eternal Sunshine, which is actually a good movie.
A masterpiece.
Yeah.
And the Truman Show.
Yeah, which is a great movie.
And Man on the Moon.
He's a legitimate actor.
And what's the one where he does The Return of Martin Guerre, but it's an American movie? The Majestic?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking
about.
It's
not great, but he's good in it.
There was this other great movie he was in called I Love You, Philip Morris.
Which is good. He's even good in Liar Liar is kind of the last of his comedies, but Fun with Dick and Jane, I think he's good in.
That's a very underrated movie.
So if you're just tuning in, welcome to the Jim Carrey experience.
According to Jim.
Yeah, there you go.
Replace Chris Tucker with Jim Carrey, and so it's like, Jackie Chan meets Ace Ventura.
Do you understand the words that come out of my mouth?
Well, that's kind of what Chris... I mean, Silver Linings Playbook, Chris Tucker can do drama, and he can do it very well. That's what he should have been doing. I mean,
oh, my God. There's a movie somewhere in all the comedic actors from the 90s doing a sad dramatic role. You know, doing a bastardized version of Beetlejuice, like they're all waiting for their next role one's coming.
In Weird Al's Beetlejuice. Let's do it.
Weird Al is that old grouchy receptionist who's letting people into the next scene, right?
I'm pretty sure that movie exists, though, and it's called Funny People. It's got Adam Sandler and Seth Rogen in it.
Punch Drunk Love is better.
Isn't Funny People supposed to be really sad?
That's what I'm talking about, though. But I'm talking about drama. I'm talking about...
Well, that's literally kind of what it is. It's about this successful comedian who has been in a bunch of popular comedy movies, but he just utterly loathes them.
Right. I mean, or do a remake of... what's the Scorsese film? Is it King of Comedy?
Yeah.
But replace it with someone like Louis C.K. and all the suck-ups who are around him, and then he has this fall from grace because he masturbates in front of people. Louis C.K. is a fuckhead. I'm sorry.
I never thought he was all that great.
Everyone has one good bit. Just some people are assholes.
I think this really epitomizes the film. Like, this is actually not a bad movie, but we've almost not talked about this movie at all.
Here's the thing about... Well, let's do final judgments, because we all have the same one. Watch it. It's funny. It's mediocre. It's kind of racist. Watch it.
You nailed it. Watch the sequel. Yeah, it's worth watching. Like, brace yourself for some racist jokes. But, like, the movie is fine. It's well-directed. The kung fu is good. Like... The jokes didn't age well, but the rest of the movie is totally fine. Completely fine.
Sudsy?
Watch the sequel instead. I think that's a lot better because it actually takes what this movie was doing and it built on the actors finally had chemistry. They finally actually acted like they enjoyed each other, which made for a much better experience.
Matt?
It's funny, but it's also horrendously obnoxious, both for the same reason, Chris Tucker. Jackie Chan, of course, is a great, great actor and martial artist.
I am between all of you. I'd say watch it. It's a perfect late Sunday afternoon movie. It'll wind you right out of the weekend. It's a hangover movie. It's not too loud. It's fun. It's also just a good watching movie. Like, guess what? If you miss something, you haven't missed anything. You know the plot for the first 10 minutes. The action movie part is fun. The comedy's fine. Chris Tucker is loud, but he's mutable. He's not going to wake you up from a nice evening nap.
That's questionable.
Fair. We do open with the guy from Reservoir Dogs just being like, you want C4? I got C4. And he's like, you got C4?
Yeah. Man, was that Edith Bunker just then?
I don't know. I feel like I pulled a spleen doing that impression.
That looked like that hurt.
I'm constipated now. Regardless, I think the movie's fine. It's mediocre, but it's fine.
Watch some of Jackie Chan's classic Hong Kong movies. Criterion put out the Police Story movies, the first two at least. Go watch those.
That's a fair point. I don't think that this movie adds anything of value that those don't, right? If you're looking for, like, the parts that resonated with me, were the kung fu scenes. Like, there's no reason that you need to intertwine the terrible comedy into this. So,
I mean, or hell, previous episode, watch Legend of the Drunken Master. That is That is just...
Ooh, 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 watch Kung Fu Hustle. It's on Netflix right now. Go watch it. It's such a good movie. It's way better.
It is. I mean, or Bloodsport if you want white guy karate or...
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, we love karate films here because nothing like an ice cold light beer and watching some karate films on a Saturday afternoon.
You're not wrong.
No. And tragically, as we're recording this, you've already seen AVP. We don't know what's coming out in March yet. So stay tuned next week. Well, actually, stay tuned to the credits because these guys don't know at the moment we're recording because we're recording this in mid-January. But... we will give a teaser at the end of this episode for what's coming out in March. But if you're not a member of the Patreon for Here Be Tigers, Geekly Oddcast, Outer Worlds, and Myopia Defender of Childhood, we're doing all the Alien movies. January, of course, was Alien. January led into February, which is Aliens. And finally, at the end of March... we're going to come out with Aliens to the Power of Three or whatever.
Even more Aliens.
Alien Cubed. Right?
Alien Cubed.
Oh, it's the Borg
finally
movie.
Finally, Alien Resurrection, and then we will die. Stay tuned next week and every future week. And, of course, starting in April, we will also have the return of Mission Briefing because No Time to Die is coming out. And then we will do Spectre, and we will do Skyfall, and we will do Casino Royale, and we will do Quantum of Solace. I feel tired already. But it's fun to get back into some movies and my old friends, and everyone's back together, and I am ready to end this episode. So stay tuned next week and every future week, and join the Patreon as we put another piece of your Patreon. Stay tuned next week and every future week as we put a piece of your past on trial. Thanks, guys.
My Opinion of Your Childhood is a product of Good Letter Podcast. It is hosted by Nick Hoffman, produced by Nick Hoffman, Daniel Sutter, and Matthew Klune, and edited by Daniel Sutter. Our theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin McLeod from Incomptech.com, licensed under Creative Commons License by Attribution 3.0 License.